Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sam, host of Open World, formerly known as Against the Grain. We are back today. We were gone last week because we were volunteering at the Sacred Women's Festival in Porcupine Plains, Saskatchewan, and that was a very beautiful experience. I look forward to joining the next Sacred Festival next year, volunteering next year and helping maybe even do some presenting. As you guys, if you don't know, I do things like needlework and other things, a lot of needlecraft, and then I do presentations, obviously, on a few things, natural law and et cetera, et cetera. So I look forward next year to possibly presenting and doing workshops and stuff with people. I'm just kind of firing everything up here. Just give me one second. I got back today from a meet and greet for the Saskatchewan Fringe Farm. The Fringe Farm Network, it's a cross Canada network, but we have the Saskatchewan chapter, and we got back from the meet and greet today, and it was really, really good. Nice to see faces out. We are going to be having an online Saskatchewan meeting here starting Monday, so if you are in Saskatchewan and you want to join the online meeting, join the Saskatchewan Fringe Farm Network group, and I will get you hooked up with the Zoom link there. Give me one second here. Online on Zoom. Perfect. And that is done. Okay. We have Pixie who's going to be joining us for the first little bit of our show today. And then Rod has a couple things that he would like to cover. Elon Musk meditation and a couple other things that he wanted to go over this evening. So we're going to start off with Pixie and his case updates, and then we're going to end the show with Rod because that man has always got something interesting to say through and through. So let me call Pixie. Okay. Call a number. One. Let's call the right number this time. Whoop. Hold on. Here we go.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing well.
Good. That's excellent to hear. I am curious to hear these updates. So let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. So I want to know what's going on.
You know, ultimately, so would I.
Uh-oh. Is that messed up?
Oh, yeah. This case is 6 months old. Yeah, this case is 6 months old. The man was arrested in December, and he still hasn't been arraigned, and we still haven't received discovery.
Wow.
Although, here's what I will tell you. I didn't mean to say that I don't know anything, obviously. So this was a case where a gentleman who was in the process of divorcing his wife.
Okay.
And, she has children. She has a child previous to their marriage, a daughter who is now 14 years old. And then they share a son together. So, I mean, he's a dad and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so he set up a hidden camera in the bathroom. And this, mind you, this camera, everything that I'm getting ready to tell you happened a couple of years ago. Okay?
Okay.
So a couple of years ago, he set up a camera in the bathroom trying to catch his wife cheating on him.
Okay.
And then inadvertently, the stepdaughter, the 14-year-old, ended up taking a couple of showers in that bathroom, which is not, it was the parents' bathroom, not the regular bathroom. They had two bathrooms in the house. And he only set up the camera in their bathroom. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, so he was trying to catch his wife cheating by setting up a hidden camera in the bathroom of their private bathroom. And the stepdaughter, without, you know, nobody knew. And the stepdaughter took a couple of showers in there over a couple of month period or whatever. And the camera inadvertently caught a couple of photos of the stepdaughter being, you know, taken, you know, coming out of the shower. Okay, this was not, this was not anything. He's, this guy, I've been dealing with him for 6 months. He was referred to me by a very good friend of mine who all these people I trust, I know, I have no reason to doubt that this was anything other than what they said it was, okay? Plus, I have seen some of the court records. Okay, so.
Yeah.
So inadvertently, what happened was this young preteen or teenage girl took a couple of showers, and there was a couple of photos that were taken of her getting out of the shower in the parents' bathroom and blah, blah, blah. The husband and wife decided to do an amicable divorce, basically. They both decided, hey, look, we're just, you know, maybe we're not right for each other. Nobody's mad at anybody. Nobody's upset. They decided to have an amicable divorce. Okay,
yeah.
So then what happened is he brought up to the girl found the camera.
Uh-oh.
And,
uh-oh.
The wife found the camera and brought it up to him. And so he took the camera down, and then they realized that he actually showed the wife all the photos that he took. And as they were going through them, they were like, oh, wow, we got a couple of pictures of the young stepdaughter. And so he immediately deleted those pictures. He was like, oh, I didn't know those were on there, you know. And they all agree nobody's mad at each other. Nobody.
Yeah.
Okay. They just were like, oops, you know. So they deleted the pictures, whatever. Well, okay, so a year or two go by. The stepdaughter turns 13, 14 years old. And she's got, you know, I don't know. I would call it regular teenage girl problems. You know, just emotional issues that teenagers have in general. And ended up, you know, hormones, whatever. Anyway, ended up going to, she at some point said she was going to kill herself or something.
Mm-hmm.
So she went to a hospital and had a psych evaluation done. And during the course of the psych evaluation, she had mentioned something about how she had heard her parents talking about how at some point that there was pictures taken, whatever. Okay. So now the state gets involved, and they're charging him with felony peeping of a minor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the mom, the dad, and the daughter, the stepdaughter, have all clearly stated and written down and expressed to every psychiatrist, state evaluator, whether it be CPS or district attorneys or cops, they've all clearly stated it was a big mistake, it was no big deal. Nobody wants anybody getting in any trouble because this guy is actually paying for the house that they live in. You know, they, like I said, this was a whole amicable situation, right? And he agreed. He said, hey, look, we share a child, so I'm going to let you have the house, and I'll keep paying for it. And they, everything was going fine. They, I don't even think they had filed for divorce yet. But the state got involved. And that's where the problem started. So, anyway, this, and so he was arrested. So basically the police made up, the police called the wife in and asked, you know, can we interview you? And she was like, well, I didn't think anything of it, you know, because she doesn't know. She's not one of those people that understands how the state works, like most people. And so she goes, okay, yeah, you know, I'll go in. And she said, yeah, yeah, it was a mistake. You know, he did this, and but it was an accident, and we deleted the pictures, and it was no big deal, and blah, 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 blah. Well, the cop turned her words around completely, as they do, and then created a situation where now the state has some involvement because the cop's saying that this guy did this stuff on purpose and all this other stuff, even though that's not at all what the wife said. And the wife has already filed a couple of affidavits with the court, the police, the district attorney, everybody. She's like, look, this is, you know, you guys twisted my words, used it to get a, you know, they basically, CPS got involved and told the wife, if you don't file for a restraining order, we will take your kids away.
Oh, boy.
So the wife, who has already admitted to this in sworn affidavits saying she was threatened, but she did. She filed the restraining order because, you know, what mother wouldn't want her kids at home, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so she filed for the restraining order. Well, the date of the restraining order, the hearing for the restraining order came up, and the wife refused to appear. Because she was like, I don't want anything to do with this. I did this because the CPS told me that if I didn't, they would take my kids away. So I filed. But I don't really care, and I don't want anything to do with it. So she didn't show up for court. So the restraining order was dismissed. Not a problem. There was no restraining order. During the hearing, the judge was like, yeah, well, she didn't show up to prosecute this, obviously. So it was a default judgment of, you know, dismissal.
Mm-hmm.
So no restraining order was ever issued. Well, then CPS came back to her and they said, listen, if you don't sign this document right here, then we're going to take your kids away from you. This is the second time if they did this. So, but what it was some kind of deal with CPS where CPS, they basically giving CPS the authority to take the kids away without a restraint, or to basically get a restraining order against the husband without actually getting a judicial restraining order.
Oh.
It was some kind of administrative, like, process that they used, not judicial, right? They said, oh, okay, well, we're going to take your kids away if you don't do this. Since we couldn't get the judge to issue a restraining order on your behalf because you didn't show up, we're going to take your kids away if you don't give us the authority to do it anyway. To issue the restraining order. Okay, so they went behind the judge's back and got an administrative thing saying that he couldn't be part of it, okay? Or they tried to. My apologies. They tried to. It didn't work. Now, mind you, this whole time, we have documents from CPS over the last 6 months. We've got documents from CPS, multiple documents from them saying, yeah, we don't believe there was any sexual abuse. There was just, you know, the issue with the peeping, right? Now, the thing is, the statute that they're charging, anyway, they got to search, the police got to, the police lied, CPS lied, you know, this, you know, standard operating procedure for government agencies. So because everybody lied, somehow there was a search warrant issued, and the wife, after the search warrant was issued, the wife went back and signed another sworn affidavit going, I never said that to that detective. She twisted my words to get the search warrant. Well, they issued the search. They executed the search warrant. They got the computer. They went in and they found, and through forensic backtracing, they found out that that there were pictures, you know, at one point on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, apparently there was 11 pictures because they charged him with 11 counts. All right. Now here's, before I go any further, the North Carolina statute that they're charging him under is felony peeping. And that statute specifically states that the photos were taken for the, it literally, the wording of the statute says, for the purposes of, like, commercial activity, like basically selling the pictures or trading the pictures or anything like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now they won't give us the they won't give us anything, but one of the things we asked for was the forensic analysis,
yeah,
which under their statutes, I mean, we pulled everything out of their statutes, their shit, we pulled it out of their law. We're like, hey, the statute says we have the, you know, the discovery statutes say we have the right to ask for this. Well, one of the things we have the right to ask for is the forensic analysis of the person that dug through the computer.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that was so important was because if we can get the forensic analysis that shows that they had to literally reconstruct deleted files, then that would totally negate the whole for the purpose language of the statute.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot use deleted files for the purposes of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So if the forensic analysis shows that the files were deleted way prior, which they were, then they can't charge him under the language of their own statute with saying, well, it was for the purposes of sharing or selling or anything else, because you can't share or sell something that you deleted, right? So
mm-hmm.
we're looking for the forensic analysis, right? But they won't give us that. Okay. All right. Cool. We'll move on. We also have documents signed by the CPS saying that, and this is on two different occasions over a couple of months period. Like one was in December, the other one was in March. Okay, I believe March or April, and both there were two separate instances where CPS said, we don't believe there was, you know, we don't have any evidence of sexual abuse. It was just the peeping thing that we're worried about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a couple of days ago, he got a letter from CPS, and I have it pulled up on my computer right here. And this is what I really want to get into is this letter from CPS. A couple of days ago, we got a letter from CPS, and mind you, this guy hasn't been arraigned. It's been 6 months. He hasn't received discovery. We've filed informal motions or informal requests for discoveries, which you have to do before you can file a motion to compel discovery. Before I even get into this CPS letter,
which is really the main crux of what I wanted to get into tonight. Where was I? I'm so frustrated with this CPS letter, but before I get into that, I wanted to get into this. Okay, so the court appointed a public defender.
Mm-hmm.
The defendant has been like, well, okay, do whatever you got to do, but he's not my lawyer. He's never accepted a public defender. But anyway, the public defender, the DA sent the public defender 600 pages of documents. Now, I personally called the court because I was like, you know what, dude, this is public record. It's stupid that they won't give you discovery. This is a couple of months ago. I was like, dude, it's a public record. Let's just order it. And so I called the court and I said, hey, I would like to know how much it would cost to order all of the documents that you have on the public record, the entire public record of all 11 charges on every, and there's apparently they made 11 charges, 11 cases. So they have all these different case numbers too, you know, which is nonsense. But anyway, I said, well, I've gotten to be really good friends with a gentleman at that court that works for the clerk's office. And he says, okay, I'll call you back in a couple hours. I'll let you know how many pages it is and what it's going to cost. I said, okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
He calls me back a couple hours later. He goes, well, it's going to cost $86 to get the entire court record. I said, great. That's a lot of money. But how many pages? And he goes, well, there's 330-something pages in the court record. So now we're wondering, why does the district attorney have probably more than 600 pages and the public defender has at least 600 pages and the court record's only 300 pages?
That's a pretty big disparity there.
Yeah, what's missing between their evidence and the court record?
Mm-hmm.
And let me explain why that's so important. Because objections, right?
Mm-hmm.
Objections. And I'll tell you why this is so important. Because we need to know what is in the 600 pages that the district attorney is using is not in the 300 pages on the court record, so that we can file objections. Why would we file an objection? Here's the objection. It's one simple objection, and it makes perfect sense in any court case. Objection. Mm-hmm. This person is discussing facts, not in evidence.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's 300 pages in the court record, which is evidence. So how do we know if they're not discussing something on the 300 pages that aren't in the court record so that we can object to it? Because if they're talking about something that's not in the 300 pages, then they're discussing facts not in evidence.
Mm-hmm.
They may have it, but they didn't put it in the record, so they can't talk about it. And an objection for facts not in evidence is a really important tool to use when you're utilizing, when you're trying to use your objections for appeal.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we know what to object to, facts not in evidence, if they won't give it to us?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's the important part of that.
Hmm.
Okay. Again, this guy hasn't even been arraigned yet, and it's been 6 months. But he's on an ankle monitor. The cops are, like, literally parked down the street from his house, his mother's house where he's now living. And they're keeping an eye on him and all this other stuff. He's filed complaints for witness tampering because CPS has threatened the mother, who's already said, I don't want anything to do with this. I'm never going to testify for the state. The child is like, he never did anything to me, and I don't want anything to do with this, and I'm never going to testify for the state. You know, and this thing has turned into a complete nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets better or worse, depending on your. But if you're looking at this from a how funny can this get perspective, it gets better. If you look at it from a how terrible can this get, it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, I'm working on a Supreme Court case for Pennsylvania for another client right now that there was never a witness to a crime 12 years ago, and this guy's been on a sexual offenders registry list for 12 or 13 years. So I'm trying, and we've already gone back to the trial court on that. I think you and I have talked about that case on this show before. But I'm working on the Supreme Court case for this other guy, and then we get thrown this crap in the middle of the week on this case, and I had to stop everything I was doing on this other case. Because here we go. We got a letter from the Department of Social Services, which is kind of the CPS for the county that this guy lives in North Carolina. Okay, and at the very top it says responsible individual list notification. All right, so I'm gonna try to go through this real quick, but unfortunately, I've already tore this document apart, and so I may get sidetracked and explain to you what the problem with every single step of it is. But here we go. Dear so-and-so, and they did send this certified mail, which I will give them that. Anyway, it says, the such-and-such county Department of Social Services has conducted... These are their literal words. So if I'm sure some of your listeners are going to hear what I'm saying, and they're already going to know where I'm going with this. But this is their words. The such and such county Department of Social Services has conducted and completed an investigative assessment based on allegations related to sexual abuse of blah, blah, blah. That would be the minor stepdaughter. The Child Protective Services investigative assessment has been substantiated based on the following. Testimony of the child, child medical exam, and evidence from law enforcement investigation. As a result, and I really want to get into this. I'm going to try to get through this whole document because without getting into my response. But as a result, a case decision to substantiate abuse and or serious neglect has been made. This substantiation also identifies you as a person responsible for the abuse and or serious neglect. And with that comes the potential for your name to be placed on the responsible individual list. RIL. The RIL is a list of individuals determined to be responsible for the abuse and or serious neglect of a juvenile. Information from this list may be released to certain employers such as child caring institutions, child placing agencies, group home facilities, and other providers of foster care, child care, or adoption services, including the guardian ad litem. Information released shall be used to determine current or prospective employability or fitness to care for children. This includes foster and adoptive applicants. To request that a district court judge review the case decision identifying you as a person responsible for the above it referenced abuse and or serious neglect. A petition for judicial review, responsible individuals list, AOC-J-131, must be filed. And then it says in parentheses, see attached form. Okay, before we go any further, I'm going to let you know that they failed to provide the form. North Carolina law states that this petition must be filed within 15 days from your receipt of this letter. Should you choose to file a judicial review petition, your name will not be placed on the RIL until the court orders it. If you choose not to file a judicial review petition within 15 days, your name will automatically be placed on the RIL. All right, let me zoom up on the second page here because I really want to read this through before I get into my response. Okay, to file the petition for judicial review, the petition must be filed with the clerk of the court in such and such county. And they give the name, clerk of court, such and such county, address, city, state, wallet. Once filed, the clerk of the Randolph Court will provide a notice of the judicial review hearing to the director of this agency and to you as the petitioner. Upon receipt of the notice, this agency's director will review the record to determine the correctness of the case decision and the placement of your name on the RIL. Should this agency's director determine that there was not sufficient evidence to identify you as a responsible individual, the director will provide in writing a statement to the clerk of the court and to you that will result in the judicial review hearing being canceled. However, should this agency's director determine that the agency had sufficient evidence, the judicial review hearing will be held at the time scheduled by the clerk of court. At the judicial review hearing, you have the right to obtain an attorney at your own expense or represent yourself. You may present sworn evidence, law, or rule. You also have the right to subpoena witnesses, cross-examine witnesses of any of the other party, and to make closing arguments. The judicial review hearing will be conducted before a judge, and there will be no jury. Either you or this agency's director may appeal the judicial review decision. In the event that there are extraordinary circumstances that prevent you from filing a judicial review within 15 days, such and such a statute allows you to file a judicial review petition, and the clerk of the court has discretion to determine whether judicial review hearings should be held. Such and such a law requires that when abuse or serious neglect is found, the Department of Social Services must notify the district attorney. In the event that the district attorney files criminal charges and a criminal conviction occurs, your name will be placed on the RIL regardless of the outcome of any judicial review. Should you have any further questions regarding the placement of your name on the RIL, please contact Tondria Waddell at, and they gives a number. And then it says, sincerely, social worker Donovan Waddell. Okay. Okay. We know that Donovan Waddell is Tondria Waddell's husband. And then underneath it says, social work supervisor. And there's a box for the signature, and there's a signature there, and it's the date. It's signed, all wet ink. And then it says, signed by, but there's no name. And we cannot read the name of the social work supervisor. So there's a signature there, but we have no idea whose signature it is. All right. So, that's the only time I'm going to read that letter. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a response because their letter is two pages. It's front and back of one page. Okay. right? Now, our response is 6 pages long. And what we did is it says notice and response to communication received July 19th, 2023. Two, Tracy Murphy, DBA director, because that person's name is on and title is on that document. Susan A. Stevenson, DBA board chair. Now, before I even get any further, what do boards have to do with agencies? Right? You have a board of directors, you have a board of trustees, you have boards, but why is there a board chair to a government agency? A board of what? It just says board chair. Well, so we know that person's the chairman of the board, but we don't know what the board is. We don't know if it's a board of directors. We don't know if it's a board of trustees. We don't know anything. We're like, why is there a board to a government agency? But hell, her name's listed on the document, so we threw it in there. Then we said Tondria Waddell, DBA social worker. Donovan Waddell, DBA social worker. And then such and such county Department of Social Services, we put the address in there. Then we said from the client at his address. All right, so here we go. Here's our response. Because the reason I'm not going to read that thing again is because I literally tore down every statement in their document. So here it says, to all parties named, I am responding to your communication dated July 17, 2023. Please take notice of the following points of fact. Number one, I have no knowledge of who you are. To the best of my recollection, I have never met you before and have not seen any evidence to give me reason to believe that I have violated any obligation to you or such and such a county Department of Social Services. If you have any such evidence, I must respectfully demand that you immediately provide me with a certified copy of it. Failure to provide me with evidence of some violation of any obligation shall be reasonably considered to indicate as a matter of fact that no such violation of any obligation exists. All right, what do I tell you all the time? The first question, who are you, right?
Yeah.
Who are you, what do you want, and why do you think I owe it to you?
Yeah, there we go.
All right, well, that one just clarifies it. I don't know who you are, so tell me who you are. I mean, what? Well, and that actually clarifies all three of those questions. All right, number two. Your communication begins by stating that, quote, an investigative assessment, unquote, was completed based on, quote, allegations. I must respectfully demand that you provide me with a copy of said allegations, to include the sworn and signed testimony of the individual making such allegations. Any actions taken against me or my interests without providing me the sworn and signed testimony of an individual making any claim against me constitutes an act of fraud. Right? I mean, you're telling me that allegations were made. The least you could do is tell me who made them, because if you can't tell me who made the allegations, then I can't call them as a testimony, or I can't call them in court as a witness. Right? And if I can't face the witnesses, then you're violating my constitutional rights to face my accuser.
Yeah.
I mean, you said somebody was making allegations. I'm not asking what allegations they were making. I'm just asking you who it was, because I have a right to face my accuser. So who was it? Yeah. And bring a sworn and signed testimony of that individual, or else they don't exist and your shit is going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number three. I do not understand what a, quote, investigative assessment, unquote, consists of or entails. Please provide me with any legal or common law definitions which provide that information so that I am able to better comprehend exactly what is meant by that term in your communication. Yeah, I don't get it. Can you clarify that for me? What is an investigative assessment? I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Again.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, your communication indicates that the, quote, investigative assessment, unquote, has been, quote, substantiated, unquote, based on the following three items. A, testimony. B, medical exams. C, evidence from an investigation. As such, I must respectfully require that you provide me with a certified copy of the testimony, the names and contact information for all medical personnel involved in the examinations, the alleged evidence you claim to have, and the names and contact information for all individuals involved in the investigation. I mean, that's fair, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to stop right here and bring up something else. I talked to the mom. Do you need to go to break?
No, just keep going. We're good.
Okay. I talked to the mom. And I'm going to tell you right here and now that the mom straight up told me that the daughter, they tried to get her to do a medical exam and she refused because she didn't want, the 14-year-old girl didn't want medical professionals poking around in her body. So they're saying that they got evidence from medical exams, but the mom and the daughter are both saying, no, there was no medical exam.
Yeah.
Well, hey, they said it. This is going to get better. Trust me. All right. Number five. Your communication states that a case decision has been made. I am unaware of any case you may believe you have. Please provide me with any identifying information for the alleged case, along with a description of what a case involves, and the names and contact information of such individuals who have participated in creation of a case. Number six. Your communication appears to state that I am responsible for sexual abuse of the minor child. Okay. I'll just, I put her name in this one, but I'm going to leave it out.
Yeah.
I must respectfully demand that any evidence you have access to shows that I am responsible for sexual abuse of anyone and be provided to me immediately. Number seven. Your communication states that your substantiation, quote-unquote, comes with the potential for my name to be placed on a responsible individuals list. I got a little sarcastic here. Although I do appreciate that others may feel that I am indeed a responsible man, I do not understand what a responsible individuals list is within the meaning of your statements, or what gives you the authority to place my name on it. Therefore, I must respectfully demand that you provide me any and all information about what a responsible individuals list means within the terms of your communication. This includes statutory definitions, along with any and all laws, statutes, code, regulations, and rules, either associated with or mentioning such a list. In other words, I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. I've never heard of a responsible individual list.
Yeah.
But I did because I was so angry by the time I got to point six, I did add a little sarcasm in there. I do appreciate that others may feel that I'm indeed a responsible man. although I don't understand what a responsible individual's list means the way you're talking about it. Yeah, I'm definitely responsible. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That was just some sarcasm I threw in there.
Yeah.
Number eight, your communication states that the RIL is a list of people, quote, determined to be responsible for the abuse and or serious neglect of a juvenile, unquote. I must respectfully demand that you inform me of the name, title, and contact information for any individual who may be potentially involved in the making of such, quote, unquote, determination, along with a list of the information that the individual would use in making a determination. Makes sense, right? I mean, mm-hmm. If you're going to make a determination, you can at least tell me how you're making it or what you're relying on to make it, to make a determination.
Yep.
All right, number nine. Your communication states that I may request you guys to, quote, review the case decision, unquote. I am currently unaware of any court cases involving myself and any of the individuals or organizations named above. As such, I must respectfully demand that you provide me notice of any pending judicial proceedings as required by law. Failure to provide me notice of any pending judicial proceedings violates my due process right and provides me with a cause of action against anyone named in your communication. Common sense. Number 10, your communication mentions a, quote, petition for judicial review, unquote. Please take notice that I am aware of the fact that a judicial review is only available for, quote, agency decisions. I have not been provided any evidence that any of the individuals or organizations named in your communications are an agency of government. However, for the sake of not adding to the public debt via disagreement or argument, I will conditionally accept that as a fact upon proof of claim and provide the following for your consideration. Should you be able to provide evidence that you are an agency of government, then said evidence would by nature prove that you are subject to the Administrative Procedures Act as outlined in both federal and state law. If such a fact exists, then you are legally required to have a, quote, administrative hearing, unquote, prior to taking any action against me or my interests, and to provide notice of such hearing along with an opportunity to be heard. Neither of those were provided to me by any of the above-named individuals or organizations, which would clearly violate state and federal law, along with a legally enforceable obligation any such quote-unquote agent would have to ensure the constitutionally guaranteed protection of my rights. Number 11, your communication mentions that in order to receive a, quote, judicial review, a form, quote, AOCJ-131 must be filed and states, see the attached form. However, there was no form mailed to me along with your communication. Your offer to petition the court for judicial review utilizing a form that you refused to provide offers circumstantial evidence that you have no intention of permitting me to request the judicial review that you offered. Please note that such may be deemed a predicate act, quote-unquote, involved in a form of racketeering and extortion, which has been outlawed by federal statutes. That's under the RICO statute. Predicate acts are, if you look at RICO statutes in the U.S., the term predicate act is used frequently in that statute.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically means there are certain things that, although they may or may not qualify as an act independently a crime, it does indicate an act intended to commit a crime.
Hmm.
And the reason I brought that up, and I think I've mentioned this on your show before, but the reason that's really important is because in the United States, the RICO Act is one of very few federal statutes that actually permits someone to act as a private attorney general. And what that means is if the state refuses, if the district attorney or the attorney general or the state refuses to prosecute it, it's the type of crime that you can prosecute on your own without them. Because most crimes can only be prosecuted by a district attorney, an attorney general, or somebody of that nature. However, in the United States, there are certain statutes that allow for an individual to act as a private attorney general, which means that they can prosecute the crime on their own, and they don't need the government's help to do it.
Mm.
And the RICO Act is one of those statutes that allows people to act as a private attorney general. And when I brought up the predicate act, this is basically telling them, hey, I didn't mention RICO, but if you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, you're about to find out. All right. Anyway, I'm gonna leave that one. 11. That was 11. We're going to go down. 12. In the third paragraph of your communication, it states, and I don't know if you've noticed as I'm reading my response, but I will bring this up. A lot of times in this response, I've said, your communication states, okay, if this is what I'm saying, every time I say that, I'm letting them know, this is your words, not mine. You literally said this. And this is the problem I have with what you said.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't ask them to send this document. They just sent it. So we're like, hey, yeah. You said something. This is what you said. This is your words, not ours. And I've put every one of their words in quotes. That, like, this is your statement. Okay? Not mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making stuff up here. I'm just tearing apart what you said. And literally, this is what you said. All right. Anyway, point 12. In the third paragraph of your communication, it states that along with the substantiation, quote unquote, comes the quote unquote potential to have my name placed upon the RIL. However, the last paragraph on the first page states that my name will be automatically placed on the RIL if I choose not to file a petition for judicial review. This is a form of extortion, and as such, leads me to believe that you are not an agency of government. Number 13. On page 2 of your communication, you state that I chose to file a that should I choose to file a petition for judicial review, the clerk of the court will provide a notice of the hearing to both myself and the director of your organization. It further states that once the director receives such notice, they will, quote, review the record to determine the correctness of the case decision, unquote. There is a lot to unpack here, but let me begin with the most obvious. Apparently, you are admitting that without me having filed a petition for judicial review, no one will be accepting liability for determining the correctness of any decision made in the case. If this comprehension is not proper, then I must respectfully demand that you provide me with the name, title, and contact information for the individual who is accepting liability for the, quote, decisions made by your organization in the, quote, case. And I'm sorry I'm going through this real fast, but and I hope everybody's getting this. Number 14, your communication states that, quote, should this agency's director determine that there was not sufficient evidence, ... unquote. This indicates that you are attempting to act in a presumed capacity of an agency. Therefore, as previously stated, I will conditionally accept the fact upon proof of claim and must respectfully demand that all information you rely on to define both sufficient and evidence, because they're not a judicial agency. So what do you mean by sufficient? And what do you mean by evidence? Because a judicial office would have those words defined.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put that in. I'm just adding that. Your communication states that I may present, quote, sworn evidence, law, or rule, unquote. Therefore, in the interest of justice and to prevent any further public debt, I must respectfully demand that prior to any hearing for judicial review, you immediately provide me with all, quote, sworn evidence, law, or rule, unquote, that you intend to utilize at any such potential hearing. Number 16. I got to go back up. Okay. Your communication states that I have the right to, quote, subpoena witnesses and, quote, cross-examine witnesses of the other party, unquote. Such a right is more than obvious. Therefore, I must respectfully demand that you immediately inform me of who, quote, the other party is, and include the names, titles, and contact information for any individual the, quote, other party potentially intends to call as a witness. Number 17, your communication states that any judicial review hearing will be conducted before a judge and that there will be no jury. Presuming for the sake of agreement that you are an agency of government, you are deemed to already know and understand the law. As such, you must be aware that refusing me a jury trial violates the constitutionally guaranteed protection of my rights. Not only that, but your communication fails to mention whether or not the quote-unquote judge you are referring to is a, quote, administrative hearing officer, unquote, or a, quote, judicial officer, unquote. Considering the vast difference in authorities held by both, I must respectfully demand that you clarify that matter for me immediately. Number 18, please take notice that, quote, extraordinary circumstances, unquote, do exist, which prevent me from filing a petition for judicial review. I am currently being forcibly restricted in my movements, and I'm not permitted to simply walk into the courthouse. And since you failed to provide me with the necessary forms, AOC J131, I have no means to mail such form to the court. I'm trying to get through this real quick. We're almost done. Number 19, your communication states that, well, I know, but you got, you know, sponsors and stuff.
I know, I'm just saying, no rush. We'll get to the commercials. I'm like sitting here just like, damn. Like the whole time, I'm just like, geez. So I'm yeah, we're good.
Well, you know, it goes back to the whole concept of anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law, right? And have I not told you 100 times, Sam, that that's a double-edged sword? Everything they say can and will be used against them, too.
Yeah.
Well, they said it, so here it is. Number 19. Your communication states that some form of requirement exists for you to notify the district attorney. Although I do not understand what G period S period section 7B307 is, or how it relates to me, I have not seen any evidence indicating that you have notified the district attorney. Number 20, your communication states that, quote, should you have any further questions regarding placement of your name on the RIL, please contact Kondria Wydell, or Waddell. However, it appears to have been signed by one Donathan L. Waddell. In consideration of the fact that I do not know anyone with the last name Waddell, I must respectfully demand that both Kondria Wydell and Donovan L. Waddell immediately provide me with any evidence of my obligation to them, including a sworn and certified statement from both presenting a valid claim. Number 21, your communication was signed by someone presenting their signature as a social work supervisor, yet fails to inform me of who such individual is. Therefore, I must respectfully demand that you provide the name and contact information for the individual signing under that title. All right, we're almost done. We're on the last page here. I'm going to get down to the business here. Please take notice that in accordance with the United States Supreme Court decision in U.S. versus Twill, quote, silence can only be equated with fraud when there is a legal or moral obligation to speak, unquote. Since your communication indicates that you intend to place my name on a list that may cause injury to my reputation, you clearly have a moral obligation to answer my demands. Since your communication indicates an intent to notify the district attorney of such, you clearly have a legal obligation to answer my demands. Your failure to answer is an act of fraud. And in consideration of the fact that fraud is not the function of a public office, your failure to answer leaves you liable in your individual capacities. Also take notice that I expressly reserve all rights, waiving none. And finally, please take notice that it is a felony to present a false claim. Therefore, should you fail to protect my rights, engage in fraud, extortion, and false claims, I will be forced to take appropriate legal action against any and all co-conspirators named above in their private capacity, whereby you will have admitted through your tacit acquiescence to be fully liable to me for your criminal acts done under color of law, devoid of any form of jurisdiction. I look forward to your response and to all forms of alleged evidence you intend to provide. Sincerely, such and such, all rights reserved without prejudice. That's the end of that. If you want to take a break for your sponsors, now's a good time, because I would really love to hear from anybody that heard everything I said when you get back.
Excellent. All right, we are going to take a quick commercial break when we get back. I know Rod's already on the line, and I know he's definitely going to want to share thoughts and make some comments on that one. And if you're listening live right now on freedomizerradio.com, click Listen Live. There's a little chat box there. If you don't want to come on the show, if you want to just type it in there, I can read them to Pixie, and then he can answer them that way. I can communicate that way. Or you can call in 619-527-6208, 319-527-6208, push 1 to get on air, and we'll get you on air. So we'll be back in about 5 minutes, guys.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific Time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. See you then.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what? Why wouldn't you do? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
We all know that times are tough, and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet, as well as the landfill. Marty.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal, or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
I've heard stories from teachers in classes where their students are grounded that they have half the level of referrals for discipline. Some students who were in tears because they were experiencing success when before they were experiencing failure with their behavior and discipline. I've heard stories from teachers with autistic children who have been grounded where they have less of what they call the meltdowns. And the meltdowns are less frequent and shorter, and they come back into the classroom and they're learning more than they had learned prior to the grounding. It's amazing what happens, not just with the teacher at the front of the class, but what can happen with the student sitting in the class. And just think if every single student and every single teacher in every single classroom in every single school across this whole world was grounded.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Peace, what's up, y'all? This is Ninja Scroll. Check out my newest album, Renewed Mind, with songs like this. Solve Coagula.
Solve Coagula. Tear down and rebuild the whole system. Bible prophecy fulfilled.
Snakes in the grass.
Son of position. We got snakes in the grass. Rally through the high pass. Traps all laid out. Avoid the bomb blast.
I gotcha.
I got you right where I want you. Like a wrong line in the field, I stalked you. Creeped up on you, peeped on your aura. Laying in wait, ready to pounce on you. Once I get you, you'll be a goal.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, just all part of the game.
Ain't this even so long now? It's time to open up your eyes. Look at how you're living just to follow the world with Satan.
And the new norms, the new world order. Yeah, go get yours right now at officialninjascroll.web.com. That's official, ninjascroll.web.com.
Trying to show you everything, but you ain't care. Got you running scared, it's fear that is the main weapon. Peace to the people that was always prepping. I'm stepping on toes trying to wake you up.
Hello, everybody. This is Sam, host of Open World, formerly known as Against the Grain. And we are back, and we just spent the last hour with Pixie updating us on this case where CPS has been making wild accusations against the father, and it's been nothing but a gunned nightmare against this family with nothing but fraud upon fraud upon fraud. And oh my goodness. So we're going to have him back here. And if you guys are on listening live right now, you can head over to www.freedomizerradio.com. Click listen live. And there's a little chat box that I have open if you don't want to call in because you don't want to be heard on the radio because this is recorded live. You can type in your questions and comments in that chat box, and I will relay them to Pixie, and he can answer any of your questions and comments. However, if you do want to call in, you can call in at 319-527-6208, push 1 to come on air, and we'll have you on air, and you can chat with him directly. So without further ado, we're having Pixie back on, and I can see that Rod is already available, so I'm sure he has some things to say. You there, Rod, and you there, Pixie?
I'm here, and Rod, I love hearing from you on this show. I will say that I think I've mentioned this before the couple of times that I've been on and you and I have talked over this show. I have a lot of respect for you and your work, and I appreciate, because you know what, man? You've brought things to my attention, brother, that... I missed, and I'm not a stupid individual, but, you know, I miss things, man, and I love talking to you over this show because you have brought things to my attention in the past that I've had to look up and reconsider, and I appreciate that, man, because I love learning as much as I love helping people. Right. So what do you got, bud?
Well, I made a few notes while you were talking. First thing, of course, the devil is in the details, and you got to look at the peeping statute, and you did that. I haven't, so you know what, whether it fits or not. You know, one thing occurs to me, it might have said without consent, and if minors can't consent, then do their parents consent for them? Well, what if she says, I consented to all this?
Okay, well,
it's probably a bit late in the game for her to say, I consented. It's okay. I don't mind.
Well, here's the thing. That's actually, I really appreciate that question because this is, it's interesting because most of the stuff we've talked about before on this show has been stuff that I've been dealing with for, you know, it was like past stuff. Today was something that literally just happened this week. And I've talked to the stepfather who's dealing with these issues, and I've actually talked to the mother. She's been over to the house a couple times, and the mother and I actually talked about the mother wanted. She said, "Listen, my daughter, you know, first of all, the first thing she told me, the mother, was that when CPS requested of the daughter to do the medical exam, the daughter refused because she didn't want to have anything to do with this. The daughter said no, he never did that, and told the mother that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Back to your question, the daughter wanted to file a statement and have it notarized.
Mm-hmm.
But the daughter in this case is, and mind you, this is the defendant's stepdaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the mother was like, hey, she wants to do this, like, and but she's only 14, like, you know, can we get her to notarize a document, whatever, you know? And I said, well, does she have a school ID? Does she have any kind of ID? Because I was actually concerned about the same issue. Can a notary even, like, you know, do an acknowledgement on a 14-year-old girl?
Yeah, I used to be a notary. I can't tell you that right off my head, but I can tell you that there are different methods of identifying someone. If the lack of papers in order is an issue, then you can have it varies by state, but you could have a credible witness, someone who's got ID, who says, yes, this is my daughter.
I brought that to the mother's attention. I said, hey, look, if the daughter is willing to write a statement and the notary won't acknowledge it because she's 14, then maybe we can add a paragraph or so to the end of that statement stating that I'm the mother and I'm validating that this my daughter wants to say this, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, what I will tell you is that as of today, we do have an acknowledgement on the daughter's statement with her signature. I don't know how they did it, and I can't tell you the form that was used, but I can tell you that the daughter's signature was acknowledged by a notary.
Okay, I
don't know
how
they did that.
I got to say two things. First of all,
okay.
On the issue of a minor, you could check with the Secretary of State, the North Carolina Secretary of State. That'll be the boss of the notaries.
Right, right, right.
Second, acknowledgement is one notarial act. An affidavit is a different notarial act. Acknowledgement is for stuff like real estate sales. Nobody's swearing to facts that you're just signing a damn document to make sure it's you. It's different. It's less strong than an affidavit. So if you're trying to use an acknowledgement in place of an affidavit,
you mean a jurat, I believe.
Yeah,
an affidavit will have a jurat
in it. There's like three different notarial acts. There's making a certified copy. There's taking an acknowledgement, and there's administering. They actually administer an oath. They're supposed to say raise your right hand and swear for an affidavit. One other thing, you could check North Carolina statutes for a statute about declarations. Each state has passed a statute that says if you cannot find a notary, all you need are – no, the statute says whenever an affidavit is required by statute or by rule or anything, a declaration is good enough. And it just has to have certain magic language, like you say, a jurat, and it'll spell out what the jurat has to be.
Right.
The reason they did that was because too many lawyers got tired of looking for notaries at 5 p.m. You know, they had to do something. Oh, I got to get a notary, and it was a problem. So they couldn't do it for just attorneys, I suppose, and not the rest of us. And so now it says there's a statute in probably each state that says that a declaration in lieu of affidavit will be acceptable.
Well,
okay, so I've got
I'm really glad you brought that up. Because I literally brought that up, I think, yesterday to these people. I was like, hey, look, I'm not real familiar with your particular, with, I live in a totally different state.
Yeah.
but I'm familiar with the difference between a jurat and an acknowledgement. And I've also personally never dealt with either one when it comes to a minor. This was a really interesting situation. I will tell you this, that they did send me a copy of a statement signed by the 14-year-old stepdaughter that was acknowledged. What I received was a PDF file of it. There was an acknowledgement on the minor's signature. What you're bringing up is a very interesting point because, again, I've never dealt with minors signing and I knew there might be an issue there. And that's why I brought up to the mother, I was like, hey, if the notary won't acknowledge it, then maybe we should add a little paragraph to the bottom stating that you're the mother and, you know, because the mother is obviously, you know, age of majority, right? And she could get her signature acknowledged or juror added or whatever. I was like, if this doesn't work, then we could add a little paragraph to the bottom saying, I verify that all this, you know, is correct and get the mother's signature, done.
Sure.
They did acknowledge the minor's signature on this. It wasn't a jurat, but it was an acknowledgement, and I haven't really dug into that. I didn't think about it until, again, 2 or 3 days ago. I've never had to deal with this kind of situation before. So you bring up a very valid point. And I appreciate you bringing that up because that's something that probably needs to be considered. But in this particular case, the minor and both parents, everybody's been – they've all been fighting the state because they're like, no, none of this makes any sense and none of us want – there's a lot more detail in this case, obviously, that I didn't bring up tonight.
Right.
They did acknowledge the minor signature for some reason.
Right.
I don't know why or how.
Yeah. Yeah. The idea is that the crime is an offense against the public in general, and so what the state is fighting for has nothing to do with what any of these people want. It's the public is involved. So that's sort of the theory behind it. So kind of explains why. And it could be that he stepped on somebody's toes. Maybe somebody has, got out for him. I once got a phone call from somebody who told me about these terrible problems that he started having. And I said, whose toes did you step on? Well, it turns out that he owned land that was next to the CIA's airport. There's an airport called the Greenwood Airport that they've got a firing range down in the basement somewhere, and they invite all their favorite cops to come and shoot with them. So it's the CIA's airport, and he had land right next to it. They wanted his land, and so they're giving all this grief because of that. So who knows? There may be some ulterior motive in all this. That plus is just how they make their money. You know, it's just what they do. The whole industry. Yeah. Now I've got 15 more notes, so we can be a little snappy with them. So when she was filing for the restraining order, she could have written before his signature something like, compelled by so-and-so's threat to take my kids if I don't sign. I once signed an IRS document, I think it was applying for an EIN, and I was kind of wondering, why am I doing this? I said to the guy, I was setting up a business account or some dang thing, and I said to the guy, hey, it was a banker, I wonder what happens if I sign compelled. He said, go ahead. So I wrote compelled in front of my signature. And then I got a letter a few weeks later from the IRS saying, you applied to the thing, but you didn't sign it. So they recognized a signature with the word compelled as not meaning signature. And then they issued the IN anyway.
Well,
so that was fine.
Let me stop you right there. You said they recognized. Okay, this is something that's a very important word because mm-hmm. it's actually two words.
Uh-huh.
They recognized. Okay, that means that they had to understand it from the get go, and then they understood it again. Right.
Well,
like,
I'm not sure how much.
Like, if you think about that in relation to what you were just saying, they definitely understood it the first time, and then understood it again, and we're like, this is a problem for us.
Well, okay. I mean, it's tempting to split up words that way and get meaning out of it, but I'm not sure that you could get juice out of it out of that. Okay. Then my question, did the wife sign an affidavit about the threats? And apparently she did.
Yes.
Or I'm not sure. In each case, that's gone in front of the court or it's in the court record? Has it been filed?
At this point, honestly, brother, this case has been so freaking ridiculous. I don't remember either, but I do. You know what? I'm pretty sure it has been. I want to say I'm 90% sure that it was.
You might want to check. You might want to check. Okay.
Next note. I understand.
Okay. My next note. There's where I am, there's a felony crime called coercion, which is inducing someone to do something that they have a right to not do or refrain from doing something they have a right to do. A list of reasons. And one of them is, you know, threatening to commit a crime or threatening to administer government powers, you know, in an incorrect way or something like that. So that's a crime or a felony where I am. There might be, check your statutes, there might be a coercion, and then that would be, you could have
we've got witness tampering.
Okay.
CPS basically told the okay, so the state was trying to use the mother as a witness, but what happened said that we'll take your kids away if you don't file a restraining order against this guy, and then. Let me pull this up real quick. Let me pull this up. The state threatened the mother and said, if you don't file a restraining order, then we're going to take your kids away. And then the mother was like, okay, so she filed the restraining order. And then in the restraining order, page.
Did they put that in writing?
It's on the public record.
Okay, well, make a copy and put it in the court record, attach an affidavit that says, here's a document that I received on such and such date and so forth, and put that in the record.
Yeah, we've already done that. Yeah, done.
Okay, good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. You ready for my next note?
Sure, absolutely. I love talking to you, man. I wish we could talk more off this radio show because I wish you would talk to me more because I love your work.
I tried the email address I had for you. It didn't work. It bounced.
Okay. Well, we'll have to fix that. But in the meantime, while we're here, let's just go on.
Okay. There is such a thing as a motion to compel discovery. So you got your forensic analysis.
We just filed a motion to compel. Yep, we've done
that. Okay, and I hope you made sure you have all the right facts, happened.
I'll send you everything I can on this case. If we can get in touch off this radio show, I'm sorry you haven't been able to email me, but... We'll have to fix that because
yeah.
Hey Pixie, I just sent Rod your Facebook profile. So he's going to shoot you a message when we're done here, and then you guys can continue to chat. So that's the problem. So.
All right.
Sam, I'm gonna send you an email address, and then you can pass along to him.
Okay.
Okay. All right. But in the meantime, let's continue.
So the next thing, motion to dismiss or maybe judgment on the pleadings. It doesn't so much matter what you call it. What matters is what you're asking for and the facts in the support. Construe it as whatever it's supposed to be. So based on the fact that the pictures were deleted, so there were affidavits on one side, and there's no evidence on the other side, or there will be no evidence by the time this motion comes to a head. So you say, okay, I've got an affidavit that the pictures were deleted, and let's hear what the other side has to say about that. I bet they will present no evidence. And without that, they don't have a case, so please dismiss on the basis of that alone.
I kind of grasp the concept of what you're saying, but you're not real familiar with the details of this particular case. So
well, I'm not, but what I hear... What I hear is that there's one missing fact, which is, yeah. Well, I'm only so familiar with it, but what I'm hearing is that there's one key fact without which the whole thing collapses.
Yeah, the purpose
so,
is up.
Right, and
yeah.
So
even,
the evidence
even,
of that
even
fact.
Look, I will tell you, Rod, even the public defender agrees with that. Like, I mean, and you know how hard it is to get those guys to agree with something that's, like, ridiculous. But yeah,
did they put that in writing, or did he put that in writing, or did he, or a phone call, or what? How do you know this?
I was on the phone with him while the defendant was in his office, and he agreed with me on that. Yeah, the public defender even agreed with me on that. Yeah.
All right. So
the public defender said to me, this is not the proper statute for them to be bringing charges under, based on the language of the statute. Yeah, so...
Right,
put that
in writing. Put that in writing, put it as an affidavit. On such and such date, by the guy who was on the phone, on such and such date, I was on the phone with this guy, he said this. That should be...
Well,
I mean, it doesn't pertain to the case exactly.
Let me explain the issue with that. The issue with that is we haven't been able to get discovery. And one of the things that we asked for in the discovery specifically was the forensic analysis on the computer.
Yes.
Okay, because the forensic analysis on the computer will prove that the language of the statute was never met.
I got you. So that's why I said a moment ago, motion to compel discovery.
We just did that, yeah. Yeah, we just did that.
Okay, so you do that.
Yeah.
It should go to a hearing, and the judge says, okay, the motion says he wants this and this, and he says you haven't got it, and he says he asked for it.
Here's the problem
we're having. We
filed a couple of motions, and nobody's done anything. And so...
Oh.
I literally had the defendant on the phone the other day on a three-way call to the clerk of the court, and I said, hey, look, we need to schedule a motion, a hearing on these motions. And the clerk of the court told us on the phone, with both of us listening, that they don't schedule hearings, that the DA does that. And so we were like, okay. At the time, we didn't think about the ridiculousness of that statement, so we said transfer us to the district attorney's office. Then we talked to the district attorney's office, and they were like, we can't talk to you because you're the defendant. And we're like, look, we're not talking about the facts of the case. We're just asking you to schedule a motion hearing because the clerk said that we couldn't do it without you. And it was after we got off that phone call that we started thinking, it was like, well, what about civil cases where the district attorney or the state is not involved at all? Does the clerk not schedule hearings? Like, and so we what are you talking about? Shut up and do your job.
If there is a rule like that, it would apply to only criminal cases, but... you could check to see if there is a rule like that. You could ask the clerk, okay, what rule are you relying on?
Right.
And
well,
try to find it. There might not be one. If the DA won't talk to him directly, it might be because he's got an attorney. So that means he's in the incumbent ward of the court, as you know.
Well, he doesn't have an attorney. And look, every time they brought up, you have a public defender, we brought up the fact that, no, we don't.
Right.
that was a court appointed. The defendant never accepted it, ever. There's nothing on the record ever. And as a matter of fact, he's actually told the public defender, I don't know who you are or what the hell you're about, and we've been filing motions without him. So we're like, and we told the DA that. We're like, dude, we don't care who that guy is. We're not relying on him at all. And you have to fix this.
Right. Well, check your court rules. There could be rules where I am. There's a thing called Uniform Trial Court rules. There's there's the rules of criminal procedure. There can be local court rules for each county, and there can be even each individual judge can have rules, mostly about formatting and stuff. So there might be a rule somewhere about. What?
Okay, I disagree with it.
You disagree with?
I disagree with what you're saying, because I don't care.
That there are a lot of court rules.
I don't care what rules are. Rules are
right.
Just they're nonsense, dude. Like, no offense, but like rules don't outweigh the law. And
right, but
I don't care about a rule.
Well, would you rather be able to tell the judge there is no rule like that? I looked and there's no rule like that, or something. Or would you rather tell him, judge, please ignore the rules, because I say so because you know it's the law. It's not.
Well,
it's not me that makes that decision.
I would rather tell a judge, hey, I don't give a crap about the rules. Because you're here to administer law, and the law says this. And because to me, when you bring up the law, it's way more important than the rules. Like, if a rule doesn't comply with the law, then who gives a crap about the rule? Like, that's my point.
Right.
What is a rule? A rule is what you – a rule is like 12 inches equals a foot, but
right.
You know what? So many centimeters also equals a foot. But when you're saying 32.7 centimeters equals a foot, but it doesn't matter in comparison to a meter. And what does a meter have to do with a foot when we're dealing with what's real?
Right. And if you can make that work, that's great. If you have a particular law you're referring to and say, here, Judge, here's the law, and that's great.
Well, that's all I ever deal with.
Otherwise,
I don't care what the rules are. I don't care what your rules are. I don't care what the law
says. Have you got success using that approach?
Is what we're supposed to be discussing here.
Right. Have you got success using that approach?
Not yet, but haven't really.
Okay.
I mean, me personally, hold on. I will tell you. Let me back off a second here. Me personally, yes.
Okay.
My clients, all I do is try to get them to help themselves. And
right.
You can't rely, I can't. You can't convince somebody else to do something that you would do. You know what I mean?
Right.
Me personally, yes. I absolutely have. And I don't ever encourage my clients to do anything that I wouldn't or haven't done and had success at. Again, I can't represent them because I'm not a lawyer. I can only teach them how to represent themselves in the best way I represented myself. And so you have this concept of fear in them that they're like, oh, I'm not sure if that'll work. And, you know, I mean, you got to deal with that. you got to teach people how to do things the way you would do them. Or
right. Right. Well, I've got 10 more notes still. All right. So, you may need to file a precipice. I know a guy who filed things into his case, motions or whatever, and he just filed things and heard nothing of it. It turns out that the clerk was just putting them into a file folder and not scheduling any hearings because he was supposed to file a precipice, which is a little blue form. There's a stack of them on the counter. He didn't know that. It said so in the rules somewhere.
Can you explain a precipice a little bit better? Because I actually have a case going on in Pennsylvania where that term tends to be very prevalent in their law.
Okay.
So
well,
can you explain that for me and the people listening?
Right. It's a form to fill out that's a request for a hearing.
Okay.
Spelled P-R-A-E-C-I-P-E.
I know how it's
spelled. P-R-A-E because it's Latin, because in the first and second centuries, Rome invaded England. P-R-A-E-C-I-P-E. All right. Is a writ demanding action or requiring a reason for neglecting it?
Say that again. It's a writ. It's a writ demanding action or what?
Requiring a reason for neglecting it, neglecting to act.
Uh-huh.
In other words, do something or tell me why not. And here is Merriam-Webster, precipice, noun, any of various legal writs commanding a person to do something or to appear and show cause why he or she should not. So it's like a show cause order.
Right, okay.
Okay, do you need any more?
Nope, I understand.
Okay. So you could have a motion to dismiss based on speedy trial. Now, we're guaranteed a speedy trial, but nowhere does anything say how many days that is. So there might be some statute saying how many days is a speedy trial or something like that, but you could say...
That's actually another issue we have with this case. According to the statutes in North Carolina, according to the statutory law in North Carolina, the clerk is required to provide the defendant notice that they have to file a... They have to file something or they waive the right to a speedy trial. And it has to be done within 21 days. But the clerk is required to do that. And in this case, the clerk has never filed that. And we actually brought that to the judge's attention. The defendant brought that to the judge's attention in open court. And the judge ordered... I can't remember what the statute says immediately. It doesn't give a specific date. There's one statute that says immediately, and there's one statute that says 21 days. But there are different things. And he brought that to the judge's attention, and the judge was like, oh, okay. And the judge actually was like on our side with that. He actually told the clerk, you should have filed that notice. And mind you, now we're in 6 months, still haven't received that notice. So my client wants to know, what is an immediately?
it means nothing in between, right?
Mediate
is something in between.
The judge said that they didn't do it right and ordered the clerk to do it immediately afterwards. And This was 4 months ago. And so my client wants to know, well, what is an immediately? Because, I mean, for Christ's sake, they're supposed to do it within 21 days. They didn't. We brought it to the court's attention. The judge ordered the clerk to do it. The clerk still hasn't done it 4 months later. So what is an immediately? You know?
Okay.
And that's a common sense question. Sorry.
All right. Another note. The clerk's boss, I bet you don't know this, the clerk's boss is the court administrator.
I do know that.
Okay, good. So check with the court administrator and say, here's what's going on. Can you straighten it out?
Oh, that's good. That's very valuable. Yes.
Yeah, I've been able to untie a couple of knots by contacting court administrators, yes.
Yeah, I haven't considered that, but thank you.
Yeah, and if that doesn't work, you can go upstairs from there to the state court administrator.
Yep, I'm aware of that.
That'll be in the capital, Raleigh or whatever.
Yep, okay.
Okay,
right.
And of course you could all this you've got going on with the clerk, you can file an affidavit saying on such and such date, you know, there's an order and the clerk did not do what the judge said to do immediately. You could file that as an affidavit, maybe in support of a motion to dismiss or something.
Okay.
Yeah, so it sounds like this clerk is trying to be a right. It sounds like this clerk is your enemy, and she might be just making up, or he might be just making up rules and requirements, and they has to be DA and all that. Okay.
We literally have a record of a court clerk telling us that the defendant got a notice saying there was a hearing on such and such a date. And then we called the clerk and we were like, hey, did you get this or that or whatever? And they were like, yeah. And we're like, okay, when's the next, this was on a Thursday and there was the scheduled hearing was on a Friday, I believe, if this is months ago. Then the clerk literally told us, oh yeah, no, there's no hearing scheduled for tomorrow. There's nothing on the docket. And the defendant showed up for court anyway. And then
okay.
There was a hearing. And it was like, wait, what? this thing has been nuts since the beginning, brother.
Yeah. So my next note says, check public defender statute. Can they assign you a PD without your consent?
What was that?
Check the public defender statute. Can they assign you a public defender without your consent? There should be a statute about that. How one requires a public defender. You may have to fire the public defender on the record. You may have to claim irreconcilable conflict, embroiled in irreconcilable conflict.
That's already been done a couple of times. I'll be honest with you. It's been done a couple of times. On the record, in open court, and on the record, through paperwork. That's already been done a couple of times. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So I don't need to look up that statute because we already...
Right.
We've already made it very clear that was the public defender assigned by the court to represent the defendant, and we don't know who the fuck that person is, and
right.
We never accepted it. Yeah, yeah, that's already been
right.
A couple times, verbally and on paper.
All right, good. So this discovery that you need, the missing 300 pages, maybe you can get copies from the DA. The prosecutor, can the accused simply demand it? As you know, I'm the accused, and so I need copies of everything that you're subject to the court.
That was kind of the point of our motion to compel that we just filed.
Yeah, well, you're supposed to be served. And again, if you weren't served, you put in a better affidavit on the record. Hey, I didn't get served with this in support of motion to dismiss.
Well, the problem is this guy's been on an ankle bracelet for 6 months and still hasn't even been arraigned. Like,
okay,
we brought that to their attention. We were like, hey, look, how can we plead if we don't even know what the hell you're talking about? Like, I mean, it's common sense. Like, how are we supposed to do anything? Like, you can't even bring us to arraignment at this point because you haven't provided any information that we can use to validate a plea. Like, I mean, not that we would plea, but we don't even know how to plea because you won't tell us what you're doing or why you're doing it or what the hell are
well,
you talking?
I think that's all supposed to come from the judge at the arraignment. Other stuff.
Well,
before.
There hasn't been an arraignment yet.
Okay, right. So affidavit saying I wasn't served.
Oh, I can't tell you how many affidavits have been filed into this case, from the child, the mother, the stepdad, CPS, DSS. Everybody's all these people are filing affidavits. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, at this matter, at this point, it's still just a matter of paperwork. He said, she said, it's all paperwork. But the problem is, this guy's on an ankle monitor, and he's part of, like, an international organization. He's like the interesting thing about this particular client, a.k.a. individual, a.k.a. defendant, is that he's actually part of – he's actually, like, a major part of some real serious international non-governmental organizations that are dealing with, like, the Crown in England. I mean, this I didn't even bring that into this because until now.
Yeah, well, it might not be relevant.
Some real interesting stuff going on here because.
So you think that's the motive for harassment?
He's got contacts with the original Temple Bar. Like, this guy is. I don't know.
Well,
man,
those contacts don't seem to be helping about. Maybe this is punishment for being in that organization, or maybe
no,
it's not relevant.
No, he doesn't want any of those people to know what's going on. What's in his personal life right now, but maybe you and I should get in touch. Sam, I hope you can put us in touch better than you and I have been in touch lately, because I think that if you and I and him maybe get in touch on a Zoom call and he explains, like, who he is and where he's at and what's going on, I think that you would. And I've brought to his attention, I'm like, hey, dude, you know, you're sitting here holding back on this North Carolina crap that you're going through, but the fact of the matter is you have the ability to do things and stop acting like a, like, he's literally a victim, and he's afraid that if he brings any of this to the attention of the people that he deals with on a regular basis, that they're going to screw up. And I'm like, well, dude, but you have contacts that could change things.
And he's just afraid to bring it to their attention. Right, that's his game to play, not ours. Yeah. Talk to him however you like. That's ultimately it's his game to play, not ours.
Right. Yeah. I've just been talking over the last couple of days. I'm like, look, dude, you gotta stop worrying and just tell these people what's going on, because he has access to help, but he's afraid of how it's going to ruin his reputation. And I'm like, dude, stop worrying about how it's going to ruin your reputation and start ruining their reputation, because these people are – anyway, maybe you and I need to have a discussion off this radio show about
–
that, I think.
Okay.
Okay,
well, next note. All right.
Go ahead.
I think it's going to have to be a break pretty soon because it's like 6 minutes to the hour.
Okay.
So I've got a,
all right.
a new
okay,
caller
that,
who...
Sam. If you need to go do what you need to go do, then make some money and...
You imagine we can take a quickie five-minute commercial break. Okay, for everybody that's listening, we're just going to take a quickie five-minute commercial break. Again, if you're on freedomizerradio.com, click Listen Live, chat in the box, and I can read your comments and questions to these fellas here. Otherwise, you can call in 319-527-6208, push 1 again on air. So we'll be back in 5 minutes.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up. Talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional. See life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolli, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolli, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Hey, Freedomist Proof here. Just want to let everybody know that I have a trusted source for EMF protection. So you can block out this 5G possibly from your cell phone or any other electronic devices. Go to groundwithgia.com and please check out the selection of products that you might need to help filter out all this electronic garbage that's going to get into your house and to your life. So most of us have cell phones except for me. You're going to want to protect yourself. We all have Wi-Fi, and you definitely want to do something about this. Please check it out, groundwithgia.com. That's ground with G-I-A, Gia.com.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes.
Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media. Hey everyone, come check out the Proof Negative Radio Show here on freedomizerradio.com, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast as we fight the New World Order and rock the health freedom world together.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
All right, everybody. This is Sam, host in Open World, formerly known as Against the Grain. And we are back tonight with our third hour. We have gone over in the first hour with Pixie talking about this court case that he's helping his client with. To recap very shortly, he is being nailed by CPS fraudulently for being a peeping Tom, which was most certainly not the case whatsoever. So why the government is after this guy, that's a question we like to ask ourselves. And in the second hour, we had Rod on the show, who's also throwing out his thoughts and asking questions, and we're kind of exploring a little deeper. So we're back today with Pixie and Rod. There we go. You fellas here?
I'm here. Right.
Perfect. Okay, I'll let you continue where we cut off.
All right. I know a fellow who did some negotiating with the local officials, and he established that they cannot charge a fee for inspecting public records. There's a public records law, and they say, he says, I want the record, you know, this or that record. And they would say, oh, you have to pay a fee. Well, yeah, but I just want to come and look at it. Oh, you still have to pay a fee. So he either went to court or however he did it, he established that they cannot charge a fee for inspecting public records. So if you want to make your own copies, they could charge you a nickel a page or a dime a page or probably 25 cents a page now, but whatever, for copies. But they cannot charge you a fee to just come in and look. So maybe you could, if that becomes an issue, just demand to go in and look at the records or send an agent to. Okay, right. Get copies for the DA prosecutor as a public record. All right. So you talked about the reason why these 300 pages are important, and you said it was because of an objection. And I thought you were going to say the words exculpatory evidence. There might be something with 300 pages that not only is neutral but actually helps you, and so you want to see it.
I'm not really sure where you're going with that, but I'm going to tell you, when it deals with exculpatory evidence, especially in this case, there's plenty of it. There's like a ridiculous amount of exculpatory evidence in this case. I mean, like a ridiculous amount.
Yeah.
I know this, and the defendant knows this, but we, neither me nor the defendant, know that that exculpatory evidence is on the record. Or that the DA is not really even admitting to the fact that that exists. It does, and we have it, and most of it we placed on the public record, and it's just being ignored. So
Okay, maybe that's because there's no arraignment. Maybe arraignment is the event that triggers their duty to disclose their evidence.
That is quite possible. I agree with you there. But again, I mean, we've talked to the quote-unquote public defender. We've put records into the court like that they – like neither the public defender nor the district attorney has bothered to put into evidence. We've created evidence and put it into the public record without them, and we can't even get a hearing on it. Like, this is how insane this is. We can't even get a hearing on it. We've got two motions to dismiss. We've got a motion to compel. We've got are flat refusing to hear motions that come from anything.
When you say they, you mean the clerk, right? When you say they, it's the clerk in control of refusing to hear the motions, right?
Yeah. It's the clerk.
My next note says, clerk has discretion. That idea might be a violation of the constitutional principle of separation of powers. I remember a case where there was a statute that says the police chief may revoke anyone's driver's license if, quote, in his opinion, that person cannot drive safely. Well, that was ultimately thrown out as unconstitutional because...
Right.
There was no statute that guided his discretion. So that statute delegated a legislative power, which is, to a member of the executive branch, and that's a violation of the constitutional principle of separation of powers.
Right, and there's also an administrative issue there, too, because a license says all traffic shit is administrative in nature.
Entirely apart from that kind of issue.
I mean, not to distract from what you're saying, but yeah, I mean...
Yeah, there's a great many issues, but I only want to focus
there.
on just this one, because this is an interesting thing. Because I would not have known that was a legislative power.
Well, I mean, you're right, because there is no legislative power that allows for a diminishment of your rights.
Right. The next thing I want to talk about is it's called the de facto officer doctrine. If someone holds themselves out to be an office holder and you don't question it, if you don't question it before you otherwise engage with them, then you've waived the opportunity to do that. So later on you go to court and you say, well, wait a minute, I don't think this guy is who he says he is in the first place. Never mind that, we're too late for that, you didn't raise the issue when he was out. So the first thing you say to any official, if you ever say anything to any official, instead of remaining silent, the first thing you say is, are you properly in office? And then you've raised the issue, and you can still work the issue later on.
Kind of a quorento process type thing. We're familiar with that. Follow that to their attention already.
Good. Now, you've got a letter, an informal letter that you wrote, or a formal letter, I don't know, but it's not a formal discovery document. And your questions about all the persons who made allegations, you can make that into an interrogatory. I'm thinking of civil cases.
Aware of that.
I'm not that familiar with
civil. Yes. I love discovery tools. The discovery tools are interrogatories, requests for admissions, some subpoena. There's five discovery tools, but the two I like most are interrogatories and requests for admissions. Those are the two I like most.
Document requests,
We're doing all that.
So sometimes they say the word identify, and they say identify, I'm going to define as meaning name, address, and all of that. Now, we want you to identify all persons who made allegations and so on.
Right.
So I'm down to my final note, which, as you might expect, is the best one. You might want to use the attorney contract method, which is something a friend of mine developed. You go, you say, oh, Your Honor, I don't want to hire a public defender. I have the money to, for my own attorney, I want to hire a private attorney, but I will need 2 weeks to do that, or 1 week. But I have a week to do that. Okay, you have 1 week to hire an attorney. All right. So then you go down, you go to the yellow pages, and you call up, and you say, okay, Mr. Attorney, I want you to hire you, but I want to add contract, a clause that says that you will protect all my constitutional rights, including the ones I don't know about.
Yeah. You think, yeah, I agree with you. However, I will tell you this, and we've tried that before.
Right. I'm not done yet.
I've never seen one do it.
Yeah, I'm not done yet. So, of course,
they won't.
The attorney says, oh, sorry, I can't take your case.
It's like you're asking the attorney to be the surety for the defendant. It's,
right.
I mean, basically,
yeah.
You're saying, hey,
yeah. So,
like, you know, I'll hire you as long as you agree to be surety for the defendant.
Right.
It's fucking never going to happen. Sorry. They
right.
won't do
Good.
It.
So that's step one. Step two is you say, thank you, Mr. Attorney. Then you hang up and you cross his, you write his name down as a list of, on this date I call this attorney. Then you go to the next
right.
one.
Okay,
next one.
So then you get
so
a bunch
then,
of attorneys agreeing to never be the surety.
Okay.
And then you show the court that nobody will take your case, basically.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah.
You show up, Your Honor, here's a list of all the Well, the attorney that I called, and none of them will take my case for some reason, for whatever reason. I need another week. I need another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, another 2 weeks. And
yeah.
I knew a guy
yeah.
who, he was arrested for, he was on the way back from shooting practice and had his guns in his trunk, which is required by law, and the cop arrested him for having concealed weapons. So, this went on, he did this, and this went on for 6 months. And finally, the judge settled the cases.
The ultimate point being that you can show the court that no attorney will take your case. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, well, you not prospectively in the future, but you can come up with a long list of the ones that wouldn't. And eventually, you know, you run out of attorneys or the judge
right.
gets tired of
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
and
yeah. I'm aware
look,
of that.
It starts to look bad. Yeah. And the judge said, well, I'm dismissing the case, but it's not for the reason the defendant thinks it is. So, and there's somebody else, right? I know somebody else who used that method, and it was actually after conviction. It was on the appeal. Well, I needed an attorney for the appeal, and went through this, and the appeal case, the case just vanished. That's why that was a story I was told. It just vanished from the you can't find it in the records now. That case.
Yeah,
I haven't looked it up to see if that's true, but this is the basic thing, and I do
I'm,
know about
I'm
that.
Aware
one
of, I'm aware of the concept. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So those are my notes about this.
Well, Rod, hopefully Sam can get you in touch with me. I gave her my phone number. I hope she passes it along to you. And honestly,
sure.
It's already done.
Mother, okay, I would really like to have a private conversation with you, semi-private at least, over a Zoom meeting with just me, you, and this defendant, because
right
because
sure.
I think the three of us, I mean, obviously we'd be able to discuss much more in detail the concept of his case, you know.
Sure.
I don't want to do it over the air, but I really think that the three of us getting together on a semi-private Zoom call, I think we could work a lot of things out, because him and I would be able to discuss a lot of more details of what we have and what we've done, and kind of figure out something, because there's a lot more details to this case, obviously, than I'm going to put on the air. But I
right.
think that I appreciate you, brother, and you and I have the same concepts of what can be done and what should be done, how it could be done, specifically involving his case. So hopefully the three of us can get together outside of a radio call that's, you know, we can discuss more details, because you and I have the same concepts. Mm-hmm. This is why I love talking to you, man. Mm-hmm. And I hate that it only happens over this show. I wish we had gotten in touch sooner. I don't know why it hasn't happened, and I'm sorry, but I think that the two of us could. I have a feeling that you'll destroy any case that comes in front of you, and I'm kind of the same way, but I think the two of us could help this individual a lot.
Okay.
So, it's hard to discuss details over a broadcast radio show, but.
Right. I'm looking at the Open World webpage. It says on air, broadcasted current events live, 44 minutes remaining. And it says that it's less than 44 now. Okay, 44. Okay, so I cannot find a slot for putting in comments. I don't know if I'm looking at the right page.
Go to the Listen Live. If you go to Listen Live page, there's a little chat box.
Listen Live, so I need to go up a slot.
Listen, guys, I have about 5 minutes left before I have to do some other things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I hope that Rod, I really appreciate your time, man, and I love your thoughts. I love your input. And I hope that the two of us can get together maybe on this case, because then I can share a lot, if you and I can find some method of communication that's a little more secure than just being on a radio show,
sure.
I'll be able to share a lot more details with you, and you'll see not only, what I've done or what we've done and what he's going through. This man needs a lot of help, and just like everybody that needs help, they can't afford to pay for it. So I'll be honest with you about that. But I hope the two of us or the three of us can get together outside of public forum and maybe discuss some details, and I can share with you he and I can share with you the documents that we have from the state agencies and help this guy out. Unfortunately,
what have you got this all scanned in?
Huh?
Whatever you got this scanned in, then you can transmit to me.
Exactly. I have a lot of details that I can't share in public, but
right.
I think that if you saw the details, you'd be like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
And we have done a lot of the things that you've talked about. And I'll share those documents with you as well. Like, no problem. No problem. Brother, I appreciate the shit out of you. I like talking to you on the show, and I think that hopefully if we can get in touch off of a public venue that we can help this guy out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I'm already aware of it, and we've done a lot of this work, so maybe you can look at it and go, tell us what's wrong. In my opinion, I think that once you see what we've done, you're going to realize that what's wrong is the government, not us. I think that tends to be a general thing, because we both know that you can do a lot of things, but you can't make people not be corrupt. So hopefully we'll work through this, brother. And Sam, I gotta go.
Okay.
Rod, I appreciate talking to you. I love talking to you because
you bring a lot of things to the forefront of what needs to be paid attention to. So I appreciate you, brother, and hopefully we will talk very soon. Sam, I love you. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to get on here. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk to Rod again. And I love you guys, both of you, very much. I appreciate you.
Love you, too.
Unfortunately,
and,
I have
we'll
to
let
go.
You take leave. I've sent your information to Rod so you guys can connect. So, yeah.
I love you, Sam. I'll talk to you later.
Love you, too, bud.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I'm looking at blogtalkradio.com/freedomizerradio, and I'm still not seeing a place to put...
No, you have to go to freedomizerradio.com.
Okay.
Got to go to freedomizerradio.com and then click Listen Live on our tab there on the Listen Live button, and there will be a little chat box beside the current radio show list of completed shows.
I'm slightly reminded of when I took a physics lab once, and I had to come in for some reason at an odd hour. I missed the regular one, so I had this apparatus, and it was all this empty lab, and it was just me. It was kind of creepy, and I tried to do this, and I couldn't get it to work, and it just kept frustrating. And why am I doing this? Am I in the right place? I'm on the right planet, and so forth. And it turned out that the equipment was not plugged in. So that was an experience of trying to do something here. I'm just looking at the wrong webpage. Okay. So we've got Nancy Pelosi, a bunch of news, CIA chief, ATF.
If you're on freedomizerradio.com, just click the Listen Live button, and then there should be a chat.
Listen Live. Listen Live. There we are.
There you go. Found it?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Okay. So here we are. Okay. There's a method. There's a bunch of comments. It looks like each word went into a separate line. I think it's just because it's a very narrow window. Oh, dear. I'm supposed to put in a URL.
I just sent you the link. If you don't have to put in a URL. It's just put your name and then the message. That's
well,
just
it refuses to accept
any links.
It refuses to accept it one, so I'm just going to feed it its own URL and call it good. There we go. All right. There we go. That looks good. I think that worked. All right. See if we have some guided meditations. So we begin by finding a comfortable place to relax and sit or lie down in a position that allows your body to feel supported and at ease. Take a moment to settle into this position and become aware of your breathing. The deepest breath is to breathe into your abdomen first, and you feel your diaphragm going down. And if you were lying down and had a book on your belly, then the book would rise first, not your chest. And then your chest inflates. And then let it out and observe everything. And imagine yourself surrounded by a sphere of white light, a protective bubble that shields you from any external distractions. Now imagine one point, which is like your center of gravity, but it's not, and it can move around. And imagine one point going down toward the center of the Earth. And imagine you can feel a connection with the center of the Earth. And then you're more grounded. pay attention to any muscle that feels unnecessary tension. Start with your shoulders. We have to fight gravity all day by lifting our shoulders, and so the shoulder muscles, that's the trapezius, cramped up, and so you could slowly move your shoulders up and then down and then up again and then down again, and smaller movements up and down. And as you do this, you may notice other muscles feeling overly tense, and so release and relax any unnecessary tension from any other muscle you notice. So now you're making smaller and smaller movements, shoulders up and down. And now imagine that you're moving your shoulders up and down. And as you imagine, you may feel your actual muscles a little bit activated, very, very small movements, tiny movements, slowly up and down. And then notice some other muscle it might be in your feet. And then relax, you can wiggle your feet up and down a little bit. Your shin muscles, your backs of your legs, you'll feel activated and move smaller and smaller. You can imagine walking. Yeah, imagine that you're in a field or a forest, maybe some tweeting birds, nice sunlight. You're walking along, left, right. And these movements will all help you relax. And I want you to establish some communication with the unconscious, sometimes called your subconscious mind. And this is the mind that takes care of everything from day to day. Now, if you are playing a musical instrument, then you have to do is learn how to move, and it's very difficult because you have to pay attention to everything, and then you practice, and with time your unconscious takes over, and then you can do the thing without paying attention or driving or anything like that. So, and your unconscious has ideas. Sometimes you can ask for ideas. So we can establish a channel of communication by saying, "Dear unconscious, if it is safe and beneficial, please give me a symbol of communication from me to you. It might be a doorway or something. And when I have a request, a question, something I need, I can open the door and put that in. And let's have another channel of communication from you to me. Maybe it's a window. And then when you want to give me a sign, you can put it in the window." You may have had the experience when writing or watching someone write. They've been writing along, and then you try to think of the next word. And then you look up the ceiling, and you chew your pencil, and you try to figure out just exactly what's the right next word. That's the unconscious doing its work. That's your communication. And another way to communicate with the unconscious is to rate things on a scale of 1 to 10. You know, how is your feeling? There might be, for example, some traumatic event that still bothers you, and you might say, "Your unconscious, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much tension and energy and trauma is there on this?" And then you can do things like Freud used to do. You go back to the experience and try to look at variations on how it could come out, and make new instructions on the unconscious and how to feel about this thing. Okay, and now on a scale of 10, how much stress is there on this? And now it's only a 6. So now you do something else, and it's only a 3. I want you to lift one hand and turn it palm up very slowly, mindfully, paying attention to everything. Each muscle, turn your hand palm up. There was a time in your life when you were just learning to turn your hand palm up. It was very difficult because you had to pay attention to everything. Now we're paying attention again to all the muscles. Turn your hand and then turn it palm down, paying attention to all the sensations. And then palm up again. I want to experience this, the movement while at the same time maintaining this state of mental relaxation, so that we can actually use muscles and be relaxed at the same time. So I want you to move a little bit faster and faster. So now we're turning the hand palm up and down, palm down, faster, back and forth. And we now have the experience, we're now having the experience of moving rapidly while at the same time in a very relaxed state of mind and state of being. And at the same time, you may notice other muscles while moving. You may notice other muscles that have unnecessary tension, maybe your knee or something. So go ahead and relax and release all unnecessary tension while still moving. So now, dear unconscious, we can use this as a model of my daily work in the future. When I might be doing something rapidly, I still want to maintain this same state of relaxation. All right, so we can stop moving and return the hand to a position of rest. And so imagine doing the work that you're going to do tomorrow. You might be drawing a tap of water from the kitchen, or you might be digging a hole in the backyard or in the farm. And so take the shovels in your hand, mindfully paying attention to all the sensations and using only as much power as you need, and place the shovel and step on it. And you can simulate this experience. And just as with moving the hand, you can do all of this while maintaining the same relaxed and focused frame of mind. And if you have a glass of water handy, you can go ahead and pick up your glass of water, mindfully paying attention to all the sensations, and sip your water and maintaining the same state of relaxation, and put the water down. Now let's think about our goals for the future. And most of us have maybe more goals that we can really fulfill in our lifetime, but that means we just have to pick the most important ones. So priorities are very important. And the unconscious has a lot to do with making up our priorities. So dear unconscious, please present me with some goal, something I want to do tomorrow, and maybe something I want to do over a long period of time. And maybe there will be a symbol for this goal. Maybe it will be a rock. Well, what does a rock mean? Well, maybe that means I want to build something out of rocks. So this goal should be realistic and the more we know about reality, the more we can priorities. It's very easy to make a goal and then forget about it. So one version of memory is simply to avoid forgetting. People make New Year's resolutions and then a few days later they've forgotten because they don't have, their unconscious has not made it a priority. So you can say, dear unconscious, if this goal is not a priority, why not? Is there something standing in the way? Is there some reason that this goal makes me feel unsafe? If I want to build something out of rocks, is it because I'm afraid of a rock hitting my foot or something? And, or maybe I don't have enough mortar. Or maybe I didn't have experience. Or maybe my father laughed at me when I tried to build something out of rocks. And I want to overcome that because it doesn't matter anymore. That was supposed to keep me safe, my aversion to rocks, but it doesn't. I don't need it anymore. I can let go of it. And so you can let go of your fear of rocks. It is safe and beneficial. So your goals, and then once you have a goal and you've got enough of a priority so that your unconscious will remember it and keep it in focus and not forget, and then we can continue to do the things that lead toward that goal. And we can make a strategy for achieving that goal. Again, the more we know about reality, the more we know about the ability to create a strategy to make this goal happen. And sometimes our goals happen because of things we do without even realizing it, because we'll do our daily activities during the day and the unconscious will do things that will help towards the goal and we don't even know it. That's the best that's the best way. Then we can, as we undertake projects, we have to pay attention to how well things are working, and then we have to adapt. Maybe we need a better goal or change the goal, or maybe the strategy is not right and needs to be changed, or maybe our sense of reality will be updated, and then everything changes, and we keep taking different paths toward the same goal or some better goal. We always want to do what we want to do, achieve our goal, or something better for the highest and best good of all concerned. Let's begin with our feet and slowly work our way up the head. You can wiggle your toes and that will help some of your muscles relax. Just feel all the sensations. And then you can move your feet up and down a little bit. Those are different muscles. Wiggle your feet left and right. That's other muscles. And you can move your knees a little bit. And then relax everything and just feel all those muscles and let the tension flow out of them. And imagine a gentle wave of relaxation flowing through them. It's visualized as a soft, warm light that melts away tension, soothing all your feelings. Allow this relaxation to move throughout your body, penetrating deeply and releasing any stored tension, and leaving each muscle feeling looser, relaxed. Even when doing our work, we want our muscles to feel loose and relaxed. So let's focus on the next muscles, our thighs. Look at these, the major muscles we use while walking. You might imagine yourself bending forward or leaning backward, leaning from side to side. And all those muscles can do their work and their relaxation. Each deep breath we have, imagine pure revitalizing energy coming in. And each exhale, you can release any remaining tension or stress. And now, feel your shoulders. We moved a little while ago. We can move a little bit more. Relax all those muscles and then down your arms. Move your hands back and forth. You can feel that in your arms. Relax all of that. You can wiggle your fingers and let them rest. Let the relaxation flow. And you can feel your neck. You can move your head different directions. If you neck you like a bird, you can feel all the muscles in your neck and back moving. And neck like a bird, smaller and smaller. And now just imagine picking like a bird. Right ear up, left ear down. And right ear down, left ear up. And then back again. And forth again. Smaller and smaller movements. And smaller and smaller. And imagine moving. Slow. Imagine one point descending down toward the center of the earth. Whatever's down there, it may not be maybe a center, but whatever's down there, your center of gravity, and imagine your weight on the underside of your body. And you might even imagine yourself so light you can float up into the air. You're not going to float up in the air, but that's not the point. You can simply imagine yourself so light you're just floating. Go from here. So when we imagine achieving our goals, we can use a memory of having achieved some goal in the past. Take some success that you've had and remember the sense of accomplishment, joy, and fulfillment that comes with realizing what your desires. And breathe in joy and breathe out anything negative. And So, dear unconscious, if it is safe and beneficial, I want to feel this sense of accomplishment and joy from doing the thing that I have in mind that I want to do. When I've got my rock being built, I'm going to feel that same accomplishment and joy. And we may need to have our goals clarified. Maybe we need to be more specific about what we want. It's very difficult, actually, to really decide what it is you want and why do I want this? I want a rock ball because I want to keep the dirt from falling. Well, why do I want to keep the dirt from falling? Because you know, it gets to the stream, whatever. So what I really want is clean water. But if we can be specific and precise about what we want to achieve, then we have clear instructions for our unconscious to follow. And, of course, we want to focus on what we do want rather than focusing on what we don't want. That will simply confuse the unconscious. We want a clear mental image of the things that we do desire and what it will feel like and what it will be like when we get them. And we have to have faith and purpose. We have to have faith this will be achieved or something better, and purpose in our daily work to achieve, to work towards the things that we desire. And then we can visualize success, and we can visualize the act of working towards success. So I might imagine digging a hole and moving the rocks around, and this will be, and each movement gives me joy as I'm moving toward my rock wall. And so this will help keep me motivated and moving and relaxed. It's important to stay relaxed while doing our work. And we'll have a powerful mental group for achieving our goals. And the unconscious also should be aware of any information that comes in. Maybe this rock is too big to move, but here's another one that's the right size. So we can change what we're doing as adapt going on. So this relaxed frame of mind, some people call the alpha brainwave state. We have, and then people have studied the flow state. The flow state involves a lowered activity in the frontal lobes, which gives you your sense of time and your sense of separation. And so when the frontal lobes are not so active, we have more of a sense of oneness with the universe and less of a sense of time going by. And so we say, oh, where did the time go? I was so absorbed in my task. Where else do we go from here? Sam, any ideas what you'd like to focus on?
I'm just like zenning out right now. I know that sounds kind of like meh. But it's like I'm just kind of like getting out, just kind of like listening to you describe things. Like, okay, this is interesting.
Is there anything that comes to mind that you want to achieve?
Anything that comes to mind that I want to achieve?
Or anything that comes to mind from all this process? Anything that just pops into your mind? That's a communication from your unconscious.
Right now it's just kind of like state of relaxation, if that makes sense. I've just got a lot of things going on with life. Tomorrow I got like food safe course and stuff. So it's like, you know, it's like when you're just like, I want to do the thing. And again, I'm like, yeah, please do. Cause like, I just kind of learning how to meditate a little more and chill it a little more and just kind of go a little deeper into the subconscious and just kind of getting over your shit. That is just like hard to put into words, I guess. Kind of organize. It's like, in one way, it's just like bringing peace to mind to like organize your thoughts. So like right now, you know, you're talking about like clearing your thoughts and feeling your body and things like that. But it's like at the same time, it's just like being able to think like one thing at a time to organize your thoughts and put them in a one by one piece, but at the same time being in awareness that it's like it's not overwhelming, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yes, well, the first goal is to simply to relax, and that's quite a goal in itself.
Yeah.
Most of us have so much tension that we don't learn how to relax. And cats, I suppose, if you have cats or dogs, they know how to relax already somehow. If you visualize yourself as a cat lying down and taking a stretching out, the cats know how to stretch. So then they arch their back and they stretch their back legs so that everything is all ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
One thing at a time. Does anything come to mind if I just say, just think about one thing? Does any one thing come to mind?
Think about one thing. If any one thing comes to mind, I guess. I mean, honestly, in all honesty, the only thing I'm like outside of like the radio show right now is like just thinking about tomorrow. It's like just put the course and just kind of like.
Something tomorrow.
Huh?
I missed some words. Something tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Just kind of.
Oh, all as a unit.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember an exercise where someone said focus on two coins and they could tell whether you're relaxed. There's a test to see if you're relaxed, and it wasn't. So now imagine a circle around these two coins and make them all into one unit and focus on the circle. That's one thing, and then he was relaxed. So you could take all of tomorrow, and that's one unit, and maybe you could have a symbol. Of course, there's the word tomorrow and the word Saturday or the word some other symbol. There may be a symbol that you can. Maybe your consciousness is something popping into mind right now, a visual or some little token you could carry around or something you could imagine carrying around, right? Something you could hang on your necklace. This is what tomorrow looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It may not make any sense. These symbols don't always make sense, but just the frog, right? A frog. What is a frog tomorrow?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's tomorrow. So you could be nice to the frog and take care of the frog, and you're taking care of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I have ambitions I'm not sure I'm ready for it, but I could say it just as we moved one hand while maintaining that same frame of mind, we could say put your feet on the floor and stand up and then put your weight on one foot and then the other and walk in place. And so you could say we now have the experience of walking in place while maintaining the same state of focused relaxation and mindfulness. So that's, then the unconscious can use that as a model for now having had that experience for the daily work, walk and do other things and still be, use large muscles and still maintain the same focused state of relaxation. Allow everything to wind and unwind and let go. Visualization, we could just focus on the muscles some more. We could just have a little bit of silence. Visualize more about tomorrow. As one thing, just one thing tomorrow. And maybe just one thing you'll do at one moment tomorrow. Maybe you'll be writing your
story.
I'm sorry?
It's been my biggest thing is like I just hope I'm not going to be too tired that I fall asleep. I just want to stay awake. And then secondarily, pass the exam for the food safe. It's like, okay, gotta stay relaxed, but at the same time, stay awake.
That was what Jose Silva's focus was. He said, I want to lower the brainwave frequency as much as possible while still staying awake. And at first, people often do fall asleep and try to get into that level of mind, but then they get more used to it.
Yeah.
Be able to go deeper and deeper. Well, and so it's not a horrible tragedy and disaster. Sleep is a good thing. This is a good way to fall asleep, and then you'll be refreshed and relaxed when you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
As if you've had 8 hours of, at the end of the session, they say you're now alert and refreshed, as if you've had fully 8 hours of of refreshing, relaxing sleep.
Hmm.
Imagine your mind flowing smoothly and effortlessly, just like the gentle movements in your body. And you can feel your pulse. You can direct attention to your breath. You can feel it in your nose. And maybe you can feel it in your throat, the place where you swallow. You can feel it maybe deeper in your lungs. Pulse. Feel your entire body, nose, feet, knees, arms, elbows, fingers, hips, everything relaxing. I remember the first time I walked 10 miles, I missed a bus, so I had to walk 10 miles. It took me 4 hours. When I got home, I lay down and my muscles just twitched. I hadn't used them like that. And the second time I had to do that, my muscles did not twitch so much.
Mm-hmm.
I got used to it. So, and again, if you want to walk long distances, you have to maintain your relaxation so you don't get all tired out. Just use just use the power you need. Nothing more than what you need. Use the power of your mind and body to find balance, peace, and effectively work toward the achievement of a better life for yourself and everyone else. You can revisit this guided meditation anytime you need to relax, recharge, and reconnect with your inner self. You know, embrace these sensations of peace, calm, and clarity, and know that you have the ability to tap into this state of relaxation and harness the power of your mind and body anytime you want. If someone's yelling at you, all you have to do is step away from that. You don't have to move. Your mind will simply step away and return to a place of peace because they're not really yelling at you. They're just yelling inside their mouth. So we're going to be in this peace. We're in this sphere of soothing, healing light surrounding us. This light represents the power of our mind and its connection to our inner self. Sure, this light is a source of calmness and relaxation. As you bask in this comforting light, imagine it gently penetrating your muscles. Feel the warmth and relaxation spreading through every muscle fiber as it melts away any tension tightness held within them. Allow your muscles to release and let go completely. And remember that your muscles come in opposing pairs, so when one contracts, the other expands. And there's no reason at all to have both of them tight at the same time, and so you relax both muscles. When you need to do some work, you'll move one muscle, but not the opposite one. And imagine visualize all the gentle flowing movements that occur all the time throughout your body. They create a subtle rhythm. These small movements promote circulation, flexibility, and a deep sense of relaxation. And bring your attention to your thoughts. Imagine your mind flowing smoothly and effortlessly, just like the gentle movements in your body. Embrace the power of your mind to shape your experiences and manifest your desires. And feel your breathing, your abdomen. Towards our unconscious for all the things it does for us all day, every day. And we want to feel gratitude for all the things that we have and all the things that we're going to have. Those good things will surely come to us. Even if they don't seem to be good, maybe they are. And so we should have gratitude for the things that aren't good. So dear unconscious, thank you for everything that there is. Maybe we can talk about memory.
Mm-hmm.
Your unconscious, show me some positive memories. Something will give me some joy and happiness. And we want to be in good touch with their memories so that we are able to memorize things. I like to make a mental note now and then, have it come back to me at the proper time. So your unconscious, if it is safe and beneficial, please facilitate that so I can memorize things when I want to and then effortlessly remember what I need to. Emotions, we should establish strong, positive emotions to our goals and desires. Emotions enhance memory retention and help establish a deeper connection with the unconscious mind. Let's feel the joy, excitement, and fulfillment of achieving a goal will bring. And that will help. That will help do everything. And so our goals could be stated in words. That's a good way. And it could be an affirmation that this is already coming to pass. It could be a visualized picture. It could be sensations. This is what my rock wall is going to feel like. This could be the emotions. I'm going to be happy about this rock wall. I'm going to show it to my friends and neighbors and family. They'll all be happy with it. And all this, ripping all this in our memories so we can remember our goals and desires. Want to imagine the goal as already accomplished and have faith and purpose that we can achieve that. But we could use acronyms or visualization techniques or stories that represent things we want to memorize. The more unique and unusual the associations, the better they stick in our memory. So if I want to remember a crow, maybe I can remember a crow wearing a business suit with a cigar. And that will represent some business I have to do tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of tying a string around my finger, the thing about a string around my finger is it will always be there. And so I won't forget there's a string around my finger. I keep noticing it. And so it will keep reminding me of the thing I wanted to remember. And so if this crow in a business suit is always there in my memory, it will help to always remember what it was I wanted to remember. And we can organize, we can break down goals into smaller goals or information into smaller information, or we can chunk together information into larger information. So if you've got a number to remember, you can put 317 together, and that's a single unit. And that can make it easier to remember. And then
just a heads up, though, Rod, that we've got 90 seconds left.
All right, I did it. All right, I took us the whole time. All right, so then we can, just in time to fall asleep, we can come out of our relaxed state and wake up and then go to bed and fall asleep again and have a healthy, relaxed, refreshing sleep.
Straight up. All righty, I want to say a big thank you for coming on the show tonight. It's nice to hear from you again. I'm going to try and call you this weekend, but I got to get to bed here because I got to do food. This relaxation technique stuff is like just what I needed today. So have a good night. And thank you for all of the listeners. And I sent you Pixie's information, so definitely hit him up. All righty. Have a wonderful evening, you guys, and I will catch you again next week, Friday. Have a very good night. Bye-bye.